This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Up here, since you've gotten up here, I know it hasn't been long, but...
About Foxborough?
Yeah, or just New England in general.
Yeah, I'm surprised there's trees. I'd never been anywhere up here before, so I always thought, you know, this was a little bit closer to Boston. It was a bunch of big city buildings and stuff like that. So when I got out here and they picked me up from the airport, I said, dang, there's a lot of trees out there. I wasn't expecting that. So I'd probably say that.
Surprised at the trees at Foxborough, Curtis. Back to the Celtics endeavors here in a minute, but I love this Karen Reen write-up. He challenged players. He encouraged players. He instructed players. And on more than one occasion, he barked at players. From one group to the next, Mike Vrabel made his presence felt during the first day of Patriots rookie minicamp Friday. 1 minute, Vrabel was urging D-tackle Joshua Farber to really push him, get off his spot. Later, he demanded tight end C.J. Dupree push his arms through the defender, not at him. He put pads on, a chest pad. He wore the 51 jersey. He was out there. It's a great read. Check it out at Mass Live. It's just it just feels like a guy who, player's coach, breath of fresh air, he's involved, he's invested, and the Pats are on the right track with Mike Vrabel as the head coach.
Yeah, and he's been everywhere. He's been at the Celtics games. He's been here. It just feels like the ship has a captain again. And I don't know. I am fascinated by the Drake May we see in year two. Because he showed obvious signs that he's the guy. He, you know, was a dual threat, unlike the Patriots have had in their starter in my lifetime. But he also had a lot of fourth quarter interceptions. He had some issues with turnovers, and I don't put those on him in his rookie year. But if this continues, I mean, it's going to be scary considering the entire offseason was dedicated to doing whatever they could to improve those around him. But I just don't get the you're the Cowboys, and you get why. If you're the Patriots, why wouldn't you give up a third for Pickens?
Yeah, I don't love Pickens. He's obviously
okay, but you can't be picky.
They got Diggs. They already got a guy like that that could be good. And
Diggs and Pickens are a different style of receiver.
I know, but just in terms of their makeup,
Glenn would say X, the Y, vertical route,
boom or bust potential. I would say for either of those guys, it's a wild card. It's a coin flip. You took a chance on one.
But if you get two, then...
Big Mac Hollins guy here.
If you get two sides of the coin, you have 100% chance instead of 50.
That's true. Two flips of the coin. Real quick, the Belichick latest.
Oh, my God, I'm reading it right now.
So, Florio's all over the story. You can tell your guy, Mike Florio, loves some Bill Belichick.
Well, he knows what clicks get.
He knows what clicks.
Pablo Torre, by the way, should get a Morrow Award or whatever the hell, a Peabody.
Well, why? He got false information.
You really think he got false information?
I believe UNC
said that CBS was acting inappropriately, and then the CBS responded saying they were lying.
I trust North Carolina implicitly.
I trust CBS News every day.
If they say Jordan is welcome on campus, then that's the case.
I don't like the Jordan. Why do we have to call her that?
Well, that's what she wants. She put the big O on the Instagram.
Okay, well, I don't really... My friend's Jordan. I call her Jordan.
Okay, you call her Jordan.
But it sounds so pretentious.
Okay.
Jordan? Do you really think she was called Jordan in high school?
Hey, you can't tell me what to do. If I want to call her Jordan, I will.
Okay, well, Bill is no longer the Don of his life. God, what a pathetic ending. God, is this the greatest thing?
No,
it gets
fine.
Better every
it's
week.
It's fine.
What a pathetic old doddering moron.
He's doing the right thing and focusing on football and allowing North Carolina.
He's wearing sweatshirts with moth holes in them and looking over his shoulder about where he met because they can't say we met on sugardaddy.org.
Next question.
But Pro Football Talk reports.
In a million years when we had these talks, did you ever envision that they'd be counting down the days they could get the $1 million buyout and escape Chapel Hill, according to Florio?
June 1st. No. So a couple weeks, 3 weeks. 3 weeks from tomorrow. God. Bill can pay them $1 million to get out of the deal.
More people have stood on the shoulders of Tom Brady and thought themselves tall than any other athlete in the world.
And Bill had PR expert Brandon Faber at his new NYU book event.
That's what we need. I could have used that guy a couple years ago.
So now he is representing Bill, it appears, or, you know, PRing for him. So he's professioned up. I don't think he's leaving.
Is Bill at the main event? Wait, why is Jackson shouldn't be at the PAX thing. He should be at the pageant.
Stanley Stisgrimy claims he's going to this.
Okay.
So I hope we have it all covered.
Stis doesn't. He comes through.
Okay. We'll see. I hope so.
Where is it in Maine?
I don't know.
Okay.
Look that up, Zach. You're not going to go?
You're going
to Maine next week.
I love Maine. It's a beautiful place.
And we're headed there in a couple weeks for the Old Orchard Beach show.
Are we going to do our show there or not?
Yes. This is the year finally we stay for the Saturday show.
Okay.
If you're up.
I just feel awkward in Greg's flophouse.
I know. Well, yeah.
It is a beautiful home.
You get your own chamber, though.
Yeah. But I hear snoring. Wayne. The CPAP is needed. I'll never forget the morning after the Celtics came back and won one of the finals games. The first time they went to play the Warriors, the series they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Courtney and I are like outside of the bedroom door, and we hear his alarm like shaking the building, and he's snoring, and he is gone to the world at 5 a.m. And I just walked in, and I was like, Craigie, wakey, wakey. And he's like, oh, my God. Anyway, great scene.
He's actually been fairly timely lately. I think he was an hour late once this year, but pretty good track record, all things considered, and stabilized. Now,
I love how the Bill Bobos are just, oh, Danny is on the line.
Yeah, we're going to get to Danny in a second. So leading into Danny, because he wants to talk Devers.
Well, I wonder why he doesn't want to talk about Bill.
More likely to happen, okay, of these three things. Devers starts taking grounders at first. Celtics come back from 0-2 hole. Bill exits North Carolina. Takes that $1 million buyout and gets out of there.
Wait, give me those one more time.
Devers grounders at first. Celtics come back from 0-2. Belichick takes the buyout.
Most likely?
Most likely to happen.
Oh, well, I think Devers at first.
I agree. Today.
Right.
Because John Henry got it done. So things are looking up for the Red Sox. Celtics, you don't feel as good about.
I don't see Bill. I mean,
I don't think Bill's going to take that buyout. No. He's going to coach, right? He's going to stay and coach.
You only take the buyout if you have a better place to go.
Well, he could be. Jordan could be so upset that she demands they leave.
All right.
Not talking about this.
Not that she's banned. Let's see what Danny thinks on those subjects. He's in Quincy. Well, he's probably in Jamaica. Hello, Danny.
Well, I didn't call about Belichick. In fairness to me, the person, the gentleman who picked up the phone, that kid's a nice kid, gentleman.
Mr. Zach.
Asked me what I wanted to talk about. That's before you brought up Belich. Anyway, but Curtis, I know it must make you feel uncomfortable if there's anything we bond on, but I have to bring up two things that, you know, you said earlier in the week. You mentioned the Seacrest Hotel. I was born and raised on that beach, going with there with my boat. Do you know what famous person in Boston owned that hotel?
Greg Hill.
Nope. Red Auerbach.
Wow.
Owned that hotel. He bought it in 1963, converted it into a beautiful beach hotel. As a matter of fact, I met him. I was walking the beach, and I met him many years ago. But
so
anyway,
none of the rooms are non-smoking?
I haven't stayed there in a long time. I mean, I have a little cottage on the canal.
Because he likes cigars. It was just a quick...
Oh, okay. That went over my head. See, yeah. I never know when you're kidding or when you're serious.
Danny, I love you. We agree is good. I have no personal animus to you
whatsoever. Oh, the other thing, And I know people must be turning their radios off. But anyway, the other thing is I heard you mention La Scala Restaurant in Randolph.
Oh, yeah. Mo Vaughn and I had lunch there.
My family practically built that restaurant. We went there so many times. My parents loved it. And after my dad died, I used to take my mother there. In fact, the owner now knows me from the radio because he heard me picking up an order. And he said, are you the guy on the radio, Danny? I'm like, yeah. And now he charges me double, and he gives me less food.
No,
so
man.
Anyway.
Jesus.
That'll show him.
That's the Kenny Curtis show.
Danny, one of my great moments was my mom did a silent auction at Filene's Basement for lunch with Mo Vaughn.
Happy Mother's Day, by the way. It's all moms
yes,
out there.
Yes. Mrs. Laird, my mom. Mm-hmm. Jess, everyone. D.
Yep.
Silent auction. So I got to bring three friends. It was $200. My mom won the auction. So we went, and it was the year that Mo won the MVP, but then went hitless against the Indians in the division series. And the one they got swept by the Indians, or the Guardians now, but Indians then. And so he pulls into the La Scala parking lot with this massive Hummer. And he comes out, and he's walking in to have lunch with my two friends. And a guy just starts yelling and screaming obscenities at him.
But
said,
Danny.
You're gonna get a hit or something to that effect, you bum. And he sits down, and it was so amazing to me that this guy literally is coming here to meet us for lunch out of the goodness of his heart for some charity, and he wins the MVP and gets sworn at as he entered the restaurant.
Red didn't get treated like that at the Seacrest, Danny.
No.
No, Red was great, man. The guy was such a... Oh. I'll never forget that, you know. But yeah, and that wasn't me at La Scala yelling at Mo, but it might as well have been because I was never a Mo Vaughn fan, you know. He went 0-14 in that series in 1995,
right.
And then I think he went 7-17 in the 1998 series. But you know, he had two home runs. But anyway, that's a whole other story. Yeah, but
I think he had a grand slam in Game One of the 98 series.
You want to talk about Devers, Danny. What's up? What's your
thoughts? Ken, I floated the idea to trade the guy before the season started, okay?
Yep.
And I was told you can't trade it. It's a bad contract. But you know, like the famous words of Michael Cordleone, if history says anything, it says you can trade anybody. Right. And you can trade this guy still.
Yes, you could.
Okay? And you could get people. Now you could make a blockbuster trade. Maybe you get a Minkiewicz type or Orlando Cabrera that completely vaulted the team in a different direction. Once that trade was made back in the day with Theo Epstein made that trade, it was brilliant move to get rid of Garcia Parra and bring in those other players. I'm just using that as an analogy. But Curtis, I heard you say earlier that when Bregman was out on maternity leave, you should have given him a shot at third base while he was out, but you never would have been able to get him off third base. I mean, if you gave him another taste of third, and God forbid he made a great play, he would be squatting over there. You'd never be able to get rid of the guy.
I'm sorry. I was looking back. It was two home runs in game one of 98, three run and a two run.
But he had nothing. He went 0.0 in the first series against Cleveland.
No, I know.
0-14.
You were right.
Okay.
You mentioned 98. I remembered that big win that they won. Then they lost the next three to the Indians.
Yeah. And then he left Boston, and the whole thing fell apart. And then he apologized to Dan Duquette for the way he treated him because he was him and Clemens were the two biggest. I couldn't stand that fathead Clemens. You had two biggest a-holes on the Red Sox. Wade Boggs making they called an error on Wade Boggs, and he went to the score and tried to change it to a hit to bolster his statistics. Clemens was on the mound, and then it was a-hole player on a-hole player crime. Then Clemens got mad at Boggs. It was a civil war because his ERA went up because of it. That's what we've had to deal with the Red Sox. And for Alex Cora, just to play Pontius Pilate in this matter is unbelievable. I can't believe he cannot fix Devers. And the notion that first base is such an easy position to play that anybody's grandmother could play it, look it. He's got to learn how to dig out ground balls. He's got to learn when to cut the ball, when not to cut the ball.
Oh, my God. Something I did when I was 8.
Okay, Curtis.
Scoops
He's
Curtis.
A left-handed glove. He's got to learn how to turn the 3-6-3. If you want to take ground balls and practice, have him practice it first.
Right.
You can't just step into that position.
Well, that's my point.
Start the process.
Danny, he has been playing.
Thank you, Danny.
He's been, according to Breslow, which to me was the underutilized portion of the interview, when I asked if Rafi has taken any grounders at first. He said, no, when he takes grounders, he's at third.
Yeah.
Which, as a rule, the organization should say, no, I'm not hitting a fungo to you at first, at third base.
At least he's still taking grounders.
But there's no point. He can't say in one breath that he's changed his whole position and then in the next breath say he's still in that position taking grounders pregame.
Mm-hmm. It's a conundrum. You want to hear that clip?
Yes.
Coming back? We'll do that after Zach Cotrends. It is the Ken and Curtis Show. We'll be followed, by the way, by Shime and Mego. And then baseball isn't boring. And then Red Sox baseball to follow that. But right now, the news.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox back down to 500 on the season after a 2-1 extra innings loss in last night's series debut game in Kansas City. Hunter Dobbins getting the start, going six shut, allowing five hits, striking out six. A Rafael Devers RBI ground out in the 11th, accounting for the lone source of offense for the Red Sox. They'll look to bounce back tonight with Garrett Crochet on the mound opposite Royals ace Cole Reagans. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil will get you started at 6:10 on the Mass Mutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Lenny DiNardo will have the call of the game. First pitch from Kauffman Stadium set for 7:10. Celtics looking to climb back into their second round series against the Knicks this afternoon. They head to Madison Square Garden for Game 3. Only one injury to report on the Celtics side. They list Sam Hauser as doubtful. Tip off in Game 3 from MSG set for 3:30. Elsewhere in the NBA, the Cavs cut the Pacers series lead in half with a 126-104 win in Indiana, and the Nuggets taking a 2-1 series lead over the top seeded Thunder. They won 113-104 in Denver last night. Over in the NHL, Brad Marchand netting the overtime winner for the Panthers as they beat the Maple Leafs 5-4 to cut the Toronto series lead to 2-1, and the Jets get a big win at home, 4-0 to even up their series with the Dallas Stars at one game apiece. My name is Zach Ho, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.
Has he done anything with the first baseman's mitt as far as you know?
No. So far, his infield work has been at third base when he goes out there.
But wouldn't it benefit the organization to see how he could play it just before a game so you could inform the decision?
I don't know that it's as simple as that, because I think, you know, you put a glove on his hand and he goes out there and he starts to get to work. And then there's a bunch of questions about, is he ready? How good will he be? When will he be ready? So, you know, again, I would say all options need to be on the table and we need to be anchored to what is best for the team. And we will do that.
Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow, Craig, yesterday on the Greg Hill Show, Curtis, the Craig. Good exchange there. Obviously, you could see, I thought it was obvious, going back to last week, Curtis, there were some signs of a little rift here between Breslow and Cora and the approach. And the verbiage they were both speaking. Now, Danny from Quincy, who just joined us, was saying, you know, Cora's the Pontius Pilate approach. He's taken himself out of it. It is interesting. But I think Cora, to your point, reads the situation well. He knows Devers' mindset. He knows he's a baby. If he goes to him and says this, he's going to lose total trust to the player, and he's putting it on management to be the heavy, to be the hard nuts in this case. And it's just the smart thing to do from his point of view, because if Devers loses trust in Cora, then you've lost the player. So he has to be his friend, and he has to pass the buck up the ladder, which in this case, the owner came through and actually made the flight, which is good. So it doesn't look good from the outside that Cora is like absolving himself from it, but I see his approach, and I think it's the smart one.
I understand it. I can't say I endorse it. I think that Cora can't be the all-powerful and then act like he's powerless. And no matter what Devers says, I think Devers just dislikes the approach of Breslow more than Cora. But make no mistake, I mean, Devers is missing the point entirely if he thinks that Breslow was the one that wanted Bregman here in the first place. So it's an odd place to place yourself if you're Alex.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Cora, when you were the one very vocally, the Tuesday of our time in spring training, telling Courtney, Wiggy, and I that he was, quote, Bregman, the perfect player, unquote.
Yeah.
So, like, well, I don't know how you can then say that this is all front office when you're the one that brought the guy in.
Well, no, he knows it's kind of fraudulent, but he's just trying to keep all parties happy. And yes, Bregman's his guy. But the other part of it is Devers is not necessarily Breslow's guy. So to Danny's other point, could they trade him? Do you think Breslow just doesn't think he's worth that money and they could get prospects for him and then ship a couple other prospects for a different first baseman, a more ready-made player at the spot? There have been some talks of the Phillies or the Mets looking to add in the race against the Dodgers in the National League. I'm sure they'd want Rafi Devers as their DH.
Yeah, I mean, this would be selling pretty low on Devers, so...
Maybe he now, I see Red Sox stats just put out. He had 4 hard hit balls yesterday. He now continues the march toward having the best batted ball chase and walks data in baseball, Rafael Devers. So he is crushing the ball every time up right now.
Is there a system where you can type a player's name in and then you can find a stat, how no matter how obscure, that they lead the league in? Like, yes. Base hits on Tuesdays against the lefty.
Yes, there is. Yeah.
I mean, God.
Nielsen.
What's the time spent hitting? But I watch this team, and it feels like it is lacking some kind of a spark. Like some, I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, the spark is Roman Anthony.
So what are they waiting for?
What are they waiting for? Yeah, I hope it's not service time. The caller previously brought that up, but that prospect to the table. And I hope it's not Romy Gonzalez love or whatever it is, because he played at the U. So my fear is that Alex Cora loves University of Miami, and that's his homie, and he's just going to give him a month to prove it because that's his teacher's pet.
How did Mark James not become the Ahmad Rashad of Alex Cora?
I know, really. Who's Belichick's PR guy? That should be Mark James to Cora.
Yeah, he's in his dream job, middays in Seattle.
Now, over to the Celtics. Yep. What's the spark there? It's Tatum today? Like a Tatum 3, a step back, a pregame speech?
I think you'll have an indelible image of Spike Lee sitting in his seat with Jaylen Brown yelling at him.
The other thing is this Porzingis factor. Now, former Nick coming back to the Garden, some of his statements have been a little odd. He was asked about playing at the Garden. He's like, you should ask them about playing in Boston, blah, blah, blah. But there's something emotional about his time there.
What could possibly be making him feel this way?
It's got to be something serious, like a I hate to speculate. I mean, I guess I won't. Who knows? But there's got to be something going on that makes him fatigued, right?
Right.
Some kind of medical condition where he can only give you 10 good minutes a game. Tim Welsh did a good job yesterday with Jones and Keefe. He just said, if he can give you 10 minutes, start the game and play him 10.
Right.
Just get the best out of him right away. But I wonder if he's the spark. Porzingis back to New York. And you know the other guy who's the key to it all is just Derek White. He's so good. Caller was saying they're soft. He's not. Derek White takes charges every game. He is blood and guts. He might be my favorite Celtic of this current group. I mean,
yeah, I feel like, I don't know. I think that the Celtics, by and large, are a victim of their own greatness in that they are never out of a game. There's been this, like, all season and dating back to last year, that I compare it to Vic, like, when he first stepped on the scene with Virginia Tech, and he had one speed, or Lamar Jackson does this too, where he'll have one speed first three quarters, and then the fourth quarter it's 3rd and 7, he needs to get it, and he just hits this other level of speed past the outside for the first down, and they win the game. Like, I feel like the Celtics have always had that ability to accelerate when they need to either put a team away or come back and put a team away. And it's something that can come back to bite you as the playoffs hit and teams are better and there's more pressure and the less of an official role in the game, that there's all these other circumstances. And also, they really haven't been in a series since the Miami series 2 years ago, mm-hmm. where you had any doubt that they were going to win.
Well, maybe this wakes them up.
This would be the first time they've had consecutive playoff losses since that round, right?
Yes, I would think so. Yeah.
So how many, whatever that is, I mean, since
never with this current alignment.
Right. May of 2023 is the last time the Celtics lost consecutive playoff games.
It is stunning, though, that a championship team would lose 20-point leads in the same fashion at home in back-to-back games. Like, even if they come back in the series, it's just remarkable. Like, watching that unfold in the fourth quarter the other night was, as you said, and I think it's a good question that you brought up. 2008 versus 2025, New York upsets. If they pull the upset, which is more improbable? The Patriots' perfect season going down the tubes in the Super Bowl or this one?
Yeah, because I mentioned this on the Greg Hill show yesterday. I'm not saying gut punch. Like, obviously, the Giants Super Bowl 42 loss is a much bigger scar
much more
than this would be.
There, yes.
But in terms of what is a bigger upset, like, I feel like winning four against this Celtics team is harder to win one as the Giants team did. A game that the Giants had a lead into the second half. The Celtics didn't lose a single game to the Knicks all regular season. Now they've lost two in the playoffs consecutively.
And you look back on that Giants team now that they are a champion, and everything gets viewed through that lens, and they're a pretty good team on paper. I mean, that's not a bad...
Right.
They have some Hall of Fame players on there, certainly on the D-line. Maybe not Eli, but maybe Eli.
Right.
And they were 12-4, I think, that Giants team?
No.
The regular season?
No, I think they were 10-6.
Okay.
2007 Giants were...
10-6. They were the sixth seed.
Right.
But still, it was the team that...
Oh, this. Let's just see. Super Bowl 42 odds. And we'll look at the...
You were predicted sweep.
I did.
Before this.
Well, it still could be one.
A double gentleman sweep.
The odds were... Let's see. What the hell? Why can't...
While you look that up, I'm going to go to a call.
Take a call.
Mike and Rentham over to, I think, some football. What's up, Mike?
12-point
favorites. How you doing, guys?
Hi, Mike.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're good. What's on your mind?
Well, thanks for taking my call. You know, I'm a little concerned. Everybody's hanging their hat on Steph Diggs, and I just wonder what we're going to see going forward. I had a house for sale for a little bit, and his people came to us and requested that he rented the house for 8 or 9 months. He didn't want to buy the house, and I asked him why not, and he said, his people said, because he's only going to be here 1 year. So we had no intentions of renting it, but we said, okay, well, it's an alternative. So they came to the house. His people came to the house. They said, okay, this thing will work. Send us out the contracts. We sent them the contracts Monday. and they let us all throughout the week. And finally, they said on Wednesday, I questioned whether or not it was going to go through. And he walked away from the deal for whatever reason, maybe found another house or whatnot. But he's not going to be here longer than a year. He's already 1 foot out the door. And oh, I question his character for people that do that.
Oh, boy. So we got, this is the biggest real estate scoop, Curtis, we've had since the Connecticut house with Greg.
What's this?
Steph Diggs only going to be here 1 year. He only wanted a one-year rental.
Well, that's fine. That's all we need.
Just a one-year spark?
That's it. Get here.
One done.
It's a rehab. You're in. I mean, this. What the Patriots were smart to trade a fourth round pick
like
for Randy
paddles
Moss.
That they put on a guy when he's on life support. Boom, yeah. The Steph Diggs paddles.
Yeah, that use that to get the Drake May career going, and then he can cash in again next year.
Well, that's not good though. If he and Drake have success for a year and then he bolts.
Well, he's 30 whatever years old. He's not going to be playing many years. I mean,
not that old.
I mean, for a receiver in the NFL, that's pretty old. The
Jerry Rice was playing at 40, wasn't he?
So the money line, yeah, because Jerry Rice is emblematic of all other receivers. The money line for this year, for the Super Bowl was Giants plus 350, 12-point underdogs, which isn't even the...
And for what, for Celtics?
I can't find... I'm trying to find that right now, so somebody can give that to me. Oh, here we go. Celtics odds and preview. Here we go. Let's see. Series winner, Knicks plus 550.
Ooh.
Bigger upset.
But it is one game against four.
But that's the series.
So series odds, this would be a longer upshot upset. Yeah,
right.
It kind of feels that way. But then again, like if you rewind,
if you bet
Super Bowl,
Knicks to sweep, which is still available, plus 6,600.
Oh, that's not a bad bet.
It's almost twice the odds for the Knicks than it was for the Giants to win the Super Bowl. It is a bigger upset.
But going into that Super Bowl, did you think there was any chance the Giants win?
Not in hell.
Okay,
although I will say on Saturday, the day before the game, there was like a Channel 25, like a man on the street, and the kids were asking what day the parade would be. And I was like, oh, this is not what you should be doing right now. Like everybody, it was what happens if they win. And then I will never have a feeling like that with a sporting event again. Oh, my God, what a horrific night.
Jerry Rice played until he was 42. Played of Seattle in 2004 right. At the age of 42. When he was 31, he had 1,500 yards, followed it up with another 1,500-yard season, followed that up with 122 catches for 1,800 yards at age 33. So that's Steph Diggs. 3 years. Bingo bango.
Crazy.
Once he gets healthy. Let's go to New Hampshire and talk to Frank. Hello, Frank.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
I'll be quick here. You know, thinking about Tatum in this series, not thinking about the future, but this has been an opportunity for him to really make a name for himself and maybe change some people's opinions. You mentioned that, Curtis, not two losses in a row in the playoffs. I think this is more condemning of Tatum. Now, he's had 2 years to develop this Mamba attitude that I'm sure he'd love to have, but he's not putting it together. And what's the reason? Gonna go. Have a good day.
All right, Frank. What is the reason? Why isn't he Mamba? Yeah.
I just don't think he's wired that way. You can't create that. Like, you can't become something you're not.
We saw some signs in the regular season he was stepping that up, the ability, the willingness to shoot the last shot. He's had some success with that.
Right, but I just don't think he has that. I think Jaylen Brown has that instinct. I don't think Jason Tatum does, and I don't think that you can develop that, if that makes sense.
I mean, I think you can.
Really? Be cut, like, if you're not cutthroat, become cutthroat?
Yeah, why can't you?
Because I just think it's innate.
It's innate. It's a gene.
Well, I just, don't you, well, there are certain people, you had friends growing up in your lovely Pennsylvania abode,
mm-hmm.
where whoever the kid was when you were in the first grade, generally, he was that kind of guy for the rest of life.
But like, look at Scheim, who's in coming up next. He was, you know, he was a side producer with Gresh's show. Then we put him in the big chair. Look at him now. He's, like, pontificating left and right. He's got mock drafts for the Pope. He's got
right.
hot takes left and right. He wants to trade Rafi. He's a firecracker.
Hot pockets.
You developed him into a fireball.
Right. Well, I think if you give someone an opportunity, but what we're talking about with Tatum is he's had the same role. Like, he's been this guy for 5 years now. All NBA for what? Three straight first team?
Yeah.
So,
well,
like, I mean, it's not like he just got a new role. I mean, you can't have a bigger role than he has.
His coach let him down in game two. I still have faith.
What do you
not
think Tatum thinks of that?
I think you're right. I think he's pissed at Mazzulla's because now it's all he takes all the heat for it. Mazzulla can screw up, and people like you say that doesn't matter because Mazzulla's not
work with me.
Impactful.
Let's say they run the play again, and Tatum did have a decent look, but they collapsed on him and he threw the ball away. In what way does it benefit the team for the coach to tell you the player screwed up? Even stipulating that what we saw isn't what we saw, that clearly he had no good look. It was an awful decision. They should have called timeout when he crossed half court, but they didn't. But let's say he had a way somehow to get a shot off and he didn't. Why does the coach say, how does the coach saying that benefit the team or Tatum?
I guess it's part of the get up mentality of Mazzulla. He's trying to put light a fire under him to play better.
How long do you have to see that that's not what Tatum reacts to?
Yeah, I don't like it. What about my suggestion to bring Brad Stevens down on the bench for the rest of the series? Just have him sit there to Mazzulla's right. Overlord.
Like the Pope, have like two popes?
Yeah, and he could do out-of-bounds plays. He was always really good at that.
Aren't you envious of those that crowded the streets outside the Vatican that were so moved and lifted by the... Like, I wish I was, like...
You were that inspired by anything?
They look like happy people.
I saw you and James at the Ice Cream Museum. That seemed to get the juices going.
Love that place. It is just... I could literally give the tour myself. I don't think you've ever had this. I never did before this. Have you ever had creamsicle ice cream?
Oh, I love creamsicle ice cream.
Oh,
yeah.
Then that's, you have to go.
Pittsburgh.
It's legitimately the best ice cream I've ever had. You take a plane ride, and they come through with the creamsicle ice cream.
Had to get that at Sully's.
Right. And whenever you go into a new room, they say, melt right in.
Coming up, a little Shine-Mego crossover. They're on for 4 big hours today. You're going to get your fill of Mego and Shine today.
I love it.
They have hot takes out the keister, because we got a big game at 3:30 today. They'll lead you right into pregame. And Shine wants to trade Devers, and I don't think I would Fenway concert announced, and it's these guys. You know who this is? This was the old Mark James intro. We brought his name up earlier.
But who?
On his weekend show. Bang! Right there. Farewell tour. You gonna go?
Yeah.
You're not going. You skipped out on AC/DC, one of the concerts of the year.
I can't believe Jackson didn't go with you.
That was true. Strange. He had something going on.
What a win for you. You get to invite him, and he says no.
Well, we invite Chris Shine for the crossover. And there's some breaking NFL news. Derek Carr, Saints quarterback, former Raiders quarterback, has announced he is retiring. He is Dunsky at age 34. So whatever injury he had here has convinced him to just hang it up. And it just brings to mind right away, Shine, what a colossal failure, again, Joe Milton for a nothing pick trade was. You could have traded Milton to the Saints right now for a first.
No, you couldn't have.
Or a second or a third or something better than this.
Nope, you definitely couldn't have. You might have gotten the exact same pick you got from the Dallas Cowboys, but you would not have gotten a first, second, third, or fourth.
Their quarterback is now who?
Tyler Shuck.
Is he better or worse than Joe Milton?
That's a good question. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt just because he was drafted in the second round, but he does, I would not start him at quarterback, that's for sure.
They spent a second on Tyler Shuck. He's going to be their starter. You could have gotten a second for Joe Milton the third.
No, you couldn't have.
What a disaster. It's Vrabel's only fault.
Yeah,
folly.
I this is crazy to me. I was a big Derek Carr fan when he first came into the league. He has not been the same since he had the Tony Romo broken back injury in like 2018 or something when he was trying to compete for an MVP. But, tough day to be a Saints fan, I'll tell you that.
Derek Carr, good quarterback? How's he go down, Curtis? All-time solid?
Fine.
That's a good word.
I feel like, was he the guy that got pissed that Brady said you're going to go with that MF-er? Is that finally who that he was talking about when they were discussing the Raiders as a potential landing spot?
I thought it was Tannehill.
I thought it was Tannehill as well with the Titans.
But didn't Derek Carr get pissed about it when asked? Like, he had some, like...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, he might have been.
He's a sensitive dude.
He also got super sensitive when, was it like Max Crosby or Joey Bosa or something was like, yeah, all you got to do is get in his grill and he falls apart.
Right.
And I really liked Derek Carr coming out of college. I thought he was awesome. I thought he could play. He was
Fresno
a really good
State.
Yeah, he had a good start to his career. Again, he was like he had the Raiders at the, I want to say it was like 11-1 at one point in the season, and he was on his way to an MVP and then broke his back, and he has not been the same since.
All time, he played 11 years in the National Football League. His quarterback rating was 92.8, pretty good.
Yeah, he had a high run. One of those guys with a high completion percentage because he loved to just dump the ball off.
257 touchdowns to 112 picks. That's a good ratio. Yeah, he's a solid quarterback, but he is done. So, opens up the division for your Tampa Bay Bucks once again.
Yeah, I feel the Saints have been just rudderless ever since that divisional playoff loss at home.
Oh, with the pass interference play that wasn't called. Against the Rams?
No.
Oh, no, you're talking even after that.
After that, because they beat the Bucs twice in the regular season, yep. Blew them out, and they had a 10-point lead in the third quarter of the divisional round, and Drew Brees threw a couple awful picks. The Bucs came back and win that game, and they have not been right since. Drew Brees retired that year, right?
Yeah, they're
on my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the few teams, Curtis, and I know you hate this, but they're one of the very few teams that have actually been like handcuffed by the salary cap because they constantly were kicking the can down the road and eventually the bill comes due and now they're stuck at a place where they don't have the liquid cash to actually like give Taysom Hill some like 4-year, $140 million deal with four void years to kind of balance out the sheets. And so now they are currently paying for it big time.
Yeah. Now, Curtis, you brought up some odds earlier. We need Chime's take on this. The 07 Giants, 08 Super Bowl Giants.
Money line was plus 350.
Yep.
Money line for the Knicks in this series prior to it beginning was plus 550.
Yeah, the Celtics were minus 800 before game one.
So therefore, do you agree with the pure numbers, the pure Vegas numbers, that this, if the Knicks win the series, is a more improbable win than the unbeaten Patriots going down in that Super Bowl?
Yeah, absolutely. Like it the odds would say that.
How many times?
Emotionally, though, it doesn't feel like that.
Emotionally, it's different entirely. But yeah. How many games, let's say that the Giants and the Patriots played a 7-game series.
Patriots win 5 of them?
Right.
Minimum?
I mean, if they are...
They played a 2-game Super Bowl series, and they were 0-2.
Two different teams. We're talking specifically
about the 07 about the Giants. Team. The Patriots that year were 1-1 against them. I mean, I don't know. The reason it's a difficult conversation to have is because whenever I think of Super Bowl 42, I want to jump into a snow machine.
Yeah.
So, like...
You like to wallow in the misery.
I do not. I hate that. Oh, my God.
You brought up the topic today.
Well, because I think it's topical that you have the Boston. You're the one who's always like, Boston, New York, Boston, New York.
Well, isn't it back? Was I right? The rivalry is here. We've had fights at the Garden. We're back in MSG today.
It's my favorite matchup, Boston, New York, because we get to be the big brother for once. Where, you know, it's like, you know, we would chant Yankees suck against the Devil Rays in May. And they would never do that at Yankee Stadium. You know, like BC Notre Dame. But with the Knicks, they are BC. We are Notre Dame.
And it would be really sweet to see a comeback now. What if you win in 6 at MSG, clinch it there?
Shime, do you think anybody, and we always see the perfect bracket, whatever.
Yep.
Do you think anybody actually put money on the Knicks to sweep? Because if they did... Plus 6,600 were the pre-series odds.
Yeah, I mean, there was probably some delusional Knicks fan to do that.
Holy
and it was probably like some like $5 wager, and they're like jumping for joy.
I am done. Game two, I said I'm going to bet the Knicks down 20.
Mm-hmm.
If it happens again today, I'm going to put $20. Mm. If the Knicks get down 20 again.
Trust your gut.
Do you think there's any shot in hell the Celtics lose this game today?
Yes, I mean, there's a shot. I'm concerned. If I was betting on it, I would say Celtics. But
in 5.5 seems low.
I would say Jason Tatum is going to score a lot of points tonight. I wouldn't be shocked if he gets close to 40.
Right.
Like, Donovan Mitchell had, a 43-point game last night? I think Tatum kind of does the same thing. He cannot afford to lose this game. It is one of the most damning things for him personally if they lose this basketball game. So I think he has a phenomenal game.
And I would also say, if you are betting it, I'm not, so don't act like I'm doing this, but I would either take the Celtics plus 5.5 or I would take the Knicks money line, because if the Celtics win, I think they win by double digits.
Yeah.
And if the Knicks win, I don't think it's by 2 or 3. Yeah, they don't lose by 2 or 3 points. I think if it's close, they win.
It's one of those games where, like, if you think the Celtics win, I would alt-line it to, like, minus 12 instead of the minus 6 and really kind of hammer them.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
All right, well, Mago and Shime have you for the next 4 big hours. A lot of Celtics talk. A check-in with Terp at the Garden today?
Yes, sir. We're going to check in with Terp today. We'll check in with Sean McAdam, get some more information on this Rafael Devers situation, because this is an absolute nightmare. And 4-hour extravaganza of Mego and Shime.
Great job, Curtis. Great job, Zach Coe.
All right.
And
we did it.
This is the day. It all turns today. What time does the sun come out today?
The sun came out at 5:30.